Dutch catechism called the paradisical, the innocent joy of paradise. It's an innocent joy. It's a sweet and innocent joy. Endless, you see. And so, but it's something that touches the spirit. And all great art does. I'm sure there's others besides Mozart that are great and literary artists and visual artists and musicians. See, and so they touch the spirit in us. And so we know then there's a difference between spiritual joy and the bodily joy. The bodily joy can be very intense, but it's never deeply satisfying. It never goes to the depths of our human nature and satisfies it there. But these things do, and that's why men, as they grow in education and cultivation, will set aside the joys of the body and pursue the joys of the spirit, the arts, and the things like that. Of course, a sensualist who watches an artist may think that he's crazy, or watches a person going to an art gallery. Well, what do they find there? You know, I gave you told you a story about Frank and Ernest the other day. What are we going to do with our priorities? How can we rearrange our priorities? We have only beer and baseball. So if you live on that level, why, you can't even suspect the joys of the spirit. And they'll think that any person who's interested in art or literature is crazy. And they'll be interested, the only reading they'll do at the most will be the funny papers. And you know, I've never seen anybody laugh when they read a funny paper. I would buy them by the dozen if I could be even suggested that I get a laugh out of them. Nobody ever laughs at them. They might grunt, but you never hear them laugh. I don't know why they call them funny papers. And so, anyway, we then correct it. These are going to touch the spirit. The heavenly joys are going to touch the spirit. And on a deeper level than Mozart or Beethoven or Picasso or Michelangelo, they will touch us at a still deeper level than these, because there comes a time that we get tired of these. As one lover of Beethoven says, "I can't stand Beethoven for breakfast." And we don't want them all the time. We get tired of them too. And get tired of any sample. John Keats, who was an English pagan poet, wrote this little verse about human beauty. "Where's the cheek that doth not fade too much gazed at? Where's the maid whose lip mature is ever new? Where's the eye, however blue, doth not weary? Where's the face one would see in every place? Where's the voice, however soft, one would hear so very oft? At a touch, sweet pleasure melteth, like to bubbles that rain felteth. At a touch, all these earthly pleasures vanish." And this is even for the goods of the spirit. There's a time when Mozart will call, a time when you don't want to go to an art gallery, a time when these things do not bring you joy. They are only created joys, and they have their limits. And so the quality of the heavenly joys is much greater. And finally, to perfect our, the intensity of the heavenly joys is greater. These have a very moderate intensity. Even the greatest spiritual joys have a very moderate intensity. But the heavenly joys, they intense, they become a perpetual ecstasy. The only pleasure we give that to, a worldly pleasure, is sex, the ecstasy of sex. And yet it's only momentary too. And it doesn't fully satisfy. Elizabeth Taylor, with how many husbands, has never yet been satisfied. I read another actor the other day. He had six wives. Apparently none satisfied, you know. It lasts only an instant, and it does not satisfy the depths, so that no earthly pleasure can give us the intensity of joy. The only pleasure we can really give that word ecstasy to, an ecstasy that is unending, is the ecstasy of possessing God. And that's the word which is rightly used for the joy of perceiving God. It's an unending ecstasy. The wise man, Sirach, says in the book of wisdom, Sirach's wisdom, the difference between the good things of the world, the samples, and the reality. Come to me, all who yearn. Now, wisdom is speaking. Divine wisdom is speaking. Divine wisdom is usually represented in the Old Testament as a woman. I don't know whether you realize that or not, but wisdom is personified as a woman. I think women should make greater use of that knowledge today. Divine wisdom is personified as a woman. And so wisdom says, come to me, all who yearn for me, and be filled with my fruits. All who yearn for me. Now watch. He who eats of me will hunger still. He who drinks of me will thirst for more. With divine wisdom, divine joy, there is no such thing as repletion, no such thing as satiety, no such thing as revulsion, no such thing as fatigue. It's perpetual ecstasy, perpetual joy. Come to me, all you who are yearning, and be filled with my fruits. One who eats of me will hunger still. One who drinks of me will thirst for more. And so that applies even now in this world. The joys of the Spirit are available in a measure that exceed in intensity. This is why the saints desire unity with God and intimacy with God, that give even in this world a joy that's beyond any measurable human joy that we can receive. And so we don't need to regret them. Though heard melodies about music, Keats has another line that's worth remembering. Heard melodies are sweet. Those unheard are sweeter. Even a pagan, a man of exquisite taste can say that. Those unheard, the unheard music, the music of the spheres, the silence of God. Even in this world, there is a joy that cannot be touched by the things of the world. And so right now, it's not pie in the sky, as we are jeered at for believing. That's what we practice, but that's not our faith. We don't realize the fact that all these good things that we seek after so avidly are only samples. And that the reality, available now, still in the dimness of faith, but in a very satisfactory manner, just short of the beatific vision, that this is what God plans for us, and this is what available to us. The kingdom of heaven is within you, said Jesus. Now let us go and meditate, and we'll go to lunch. And we'll continue this subject today.